From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armilla, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk words. Let's talk G words as we continue our trip through the most difficult words ever found on the SAT. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, and joining me as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors, Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Ross. Today's episode brought to us by the letter G. I've been watching a lot of Sesame Street with my children lately, and so every episode brought to you by a letter. Although our daughter's really mad that her letter basically never comes up as the letter of the day. We need to fix that, Sesame Street. Anyway, we were going to jump off, though, with a listener pet peeve from a little while back. Bruce, I think, wrote to us.
Yes.
Yes.
It was Bruce, who was very vehement, actually, and exciting. he opens with that I very much dislike cutesy abbreviations, especially those that end in IE. Names dreamed up by marketing departments desperately trying to be clever, and some portmanteaus. So first, the cutesy abbreviations he hates, most prominent example, using veggies for vegetables. Is the word vegetables that hard to say? I refuse to say veggie. What are we, infants? I also very much dislike the increased words use of Sammy for small sandwich. I'm with you, Bruce. I don't like Sammy. Yikes. This one now is what we're going to talk about in a second. Further, I refuse to order anything except in the sizes small, medium, large, or extra large at Starbucks. There is no reason for grande. Give me a break. In fact, I'll go out of my way to patronize their competitors for this reason. Finally, he keeps going, the portmanteau hangry. Here's a Franken word, for anger amplified by hunger is like nails on a chalkboard to me. Okay, Bruce, you got that off your chest.
Well, actually, I liked hearing Bruce talk. I always, whenever I went to Starbucks, I would do the same thing he did. I would never do grande. I always hated that. The grande, the sizes. I just thought they were silly. Apparently, though, they were done to make it sound more Italianate and sound sort of fancy.
Yeah.
But Fletcher, I had a quick question for you. These are interesting. We're going to kind of go through these quickly. I don't think it's particularly useful, but Starbucks coffee sizes at a glance and see if you know them. Do you know Demi?
Demi? That means like half, right?
It was apparently a Starbucks smallest cup.
Oh.
And they took it from Italian, which is basically from the French, demi-tasse, half cup.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically for espressos. It's available, but not on the menu. I usually get the smallest you've got. I used to get short.
Right.
It's available, but not on the menu.
Right.
Well, that's because it's just short, Ross. It's like, come on, you know?
So then we get into the ones, Kath, you want to go through the ones that are there?
The ones on the menu. Okay. Tall.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's 12 ounces. It's the second smallest size.
Right.
You go from short to tall. Makes
but tall sense. Is second on short. The menu. Tall is on the menu. Short is not on the menu.
Yeah.
But tall is the smallest one that is on the menu. Next is grande, which is a medium. Grande is medium. Right? Right.
Right. Sure.
The one that really gets me is venti,
mm-hmm.
because it's in two different sizes.
What?
A hot venti is 20 ounces. A cold venti is 24 ounces.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. I didn't either.
Well, that doesn't even make any sense, because doesn't venti mean 20?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
I don't even get it. 20, it means 20, but it's 24 or 20.
Yeah, venti quattro or something.
Yeah, weird.
And then finally, the largest one is a trenta, 30 ounces. But I love this. Eater magazine apparently reported that the 30-ounce Trenta is actually larger than most human stomachs.
Oh, good God.
So I'm going to go for the I'm going to go for the cold the venti short. At 24 ounces instead. I don't know.
Well, it only comes on cold drinks, though, a Trenta. You cannot get a Trenta hot coffee. Yeah. I don't know.
I guess it worked for them. I really, it's confusing. I think it's easier. I agree with our listener in there. I order, can I have a small coffee, please, is what I would say. But whatever. It makes enough to make me hangry, which is what he said. Not really. I really don't like hangry. I don't know. Going back to portmanteaus here, I mean, this is his...
Apologies to Bruce. I think this is a really, really useful word.
Is that because you're a father of young kids, though?
No, it's because I experience it myself a lot. And it's not... I mean, it tells people why you are so irritable right then.
Hmm.
I mean, it's a real thing. I do experience it quite often myself. And... it means I need to eat something or I'm going to keep biting your head off.
But do you say it?
I don't say it that much, but I do say it. Yeah, sure. I mean, what's wrong? What else am I? What
you do?
Tell me something that's going to get that idea across so succinctly.
I don't know. I don't have this anger hungry thing.
I always say I do. I get crabby, mm-hmm. but I always say I'm cranky.
Yeah, but
I say cranky.
But you can be cranky because you didn't get enough sleep. You can be cranky because you have a headache. You can, you know, if I'm cranky because I need a granola bar, then just hold on a second. Let me eat something. I'll get back to you in 10 minutes.
But then do we have a word for like cranky because I didn't get enough sleep? Cranky because like I didn't do well.
Well, no, but those
know,
aren't
on the test.
Those aren't fixable things in the next 10 minutes.
Okay. I see what you're saying there.
That's interesting.
I've got a question, though, for Fletcher. How old do you think when is the first use of hangry? This is really interesting to both Kathy and me.
Hmm. My gut feels like the 1980s, so it's probably like the 1940s.
Okay, let's go back to your 1980s and then reverse the last two numerals.
Oh, really? That early? 1908?
Well, add a 1 to it. You add 10 to it. 1918.
1918. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I thought it was invented by the copywriter of the Snickers ad when you're hangry, because that's when I remember it first appearing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It was the first citation in the OED was in a letter, and it says, "The elephant is very hungry and hangry from having had no dinner."
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be the elephant is very hungry and hangry from having had no dinner. I would never have thought 1918.
But you look at, I mean, again, and I'm going to go to Google Ngram, which, and Kathy, you don't need to comment on Google Ngram this entire, but it does talk about in print. And in print, basically, it's essentially flat.
Yeah.
And then it skyrocketed it skyrocketed in your time era, Fletcher, in the 1980s and 90s, and then super skyrocketed in the 2000s.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
I get why it might annoy people. I think it's pretty cutesy, overly cutesy, but I do really think that it has a use. I think there's not something that's that specific to get that idea across.
I see what you're saying. I still don't care for. I still would rather say I'm cranky because I'm dying of hunger. Frankly, I know that's more words, but I can't imagine saying, "God, I'm so hangry." It makes me get tense saying it. It makes me angry.
I would never use the word. I don't really. I mean, unlike Fletcher, I mean, but you know, the interesting thing is Fletcher feels it's useful. He feels it like does describe something that is very specific to it. I particularly don't really think of it that much in that sense. And I the word, like Kathy said, to me sounds awkward. Awkward is my feeling. It sounds like you're deliberately saying something to be, quote, cutesy. Even though I know you're not, it does have that feel. Incidentally, one thing I was going to comment on, Bruce didn't like the cutie words, but cutesy actually does have that term. Which he mentioned, which I think is one problem with some of these.
But he put it in quotation marks.
He did, but I noticed that too. He put it in quotation marks, but the point was he did use, I think he did it deliberately to show it. But I was thinking when he did it, though, I guess you could say cute abbreviations. But cute abbreviations, I was trying to think of that right now. Just look at that.
Cloying.
Cloying is good, Kath. I think you're right. I mean, he did it deliberately to show off the idea that he hates it. Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure he would not use QC normally. So you're right. Cloying is probably QC, though. So I mean, let's just weigh in on that word for 1 second, if you don't mind. Cutesy to me seems like it's a pretty valuable term, word. Don't you think so?
I think it is too.
Cloying
See, but then I got to tell you, I would say Veggie or Sammy. I would never say Sammy. I would say
I would
Veggie.
Never, yeah. I was going to say I would never say Sammy. Oh,
veggie is a thumbs up for me. Sammy is a thumbs down for me.
That's, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think, you know, along what Bruce is saying, we have basically some things are okay, some things are not. Starbucks, tall, short, no. Big, small, what we're saying. No grande. And let's move on to G. Fletcher spelling test.
Oh, can we just do one quick spelling email, though, Ross, quickly, that we got? Mm-hmm. Terry in St. Louis. I love it. He says, I know it's a little late. He or she. I just realized I don't know the gender. Excuse me, Terry. I know it's a little late, but I have a pet peeve to add to your list, and it's one that it seems you can't avoid these days. And I'm with you, Terry. I speak of martial law.
Oh.
Martial, not martial, M-A-R-T-I-A-L, but apparently some guy that's running out there, M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L, law.
Wow.
It's driving me crazy.
I just had
to get that off my chest. Keep up the good work.
I agree with that. I see that all over the place now. Yeah. I hate it. It should be M-A-R-T-I-A-L. That's an M, though. It's not a G.
That's
true. We're going
to G. Letter G. So we're moving back to the hardest words ever found on the SATs, and then usually one or two others that weren't actually found on the SATs.
Yes.
And we've been going through the alphabet.
But we want to make you suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're picking up with the letter G now.
Yeah. G was a toughie for us, Fletcher, because a lot of the Gs on the SAT we found you were going to get instantly, and we don't want you to get these words instantly. So we picked... We have more words that aren't on the SAT in this one than normal. The first one is on the SAT, garrulous.
Garrulous. Okay, and am I trying to spell these words this time?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Garrulous is if somebody's garrulous, they're very talkative.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, do you feel like it's a good-natured talkative? How do you guys feel about garrulous?
I actually do. I see it more as a chatterbox, somebody who's or more of a bonhomous sort of like, hey, blah, 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 sort of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There might be something slightly overdone, but not excessively annoying.
Right.
I agree.
You don't feel like it's somebody you just want them to shut the heck up.
Right.
It's more good natured than that.
I consider myself garrulous.
Okay.
Actually.
Okay. Anyway, G-A-R-R-U-L-O-U-S, garrulous.
You got it.
Yeah.
Good job.
The problem here is a lot of people tend to think there's an O-U. It's not G-A-R-R-U. It's G-A-R-R-O-U.
O-U.
Yeah, G-A-R-R-U-L is a weird set of letters, right?
Yeah.
You don't really think of that happening.
No.
There. Where does that come from? Latin, I assume, but...
Good guess. It comes from Latin. And the Latins didn't put the garrulous in Latin, G-A-R-R-U-L-U-S.
Oh, yeah.
From the verb gariri, to chatter or to talk.
Okay.
But, you know, we added the O-U-S to it. I wonder why we did, but whatever we did. Well, because O-U-S looks ugly, I guess, in English. Okay.
Oh, the next word is grandiloquence.
Grandiloquence. Oh, man. I'm trying to think, is that something that has a lot of grandeur, or is it something that's overly grand?
It's more extravagant.
Extravagant.
It's like pompous.
Like too much, yeah.
Yeah.
But it tends to be specifically about language.
Yes.
It's language or your demeanor.
Uh-huh.
Highfalutin language,
okay.
Really, is most lofty speech,
yeah.
I guess we can say.
Highfalutin, can we just digress for a second?
I knew, as soon as I said that, I thought, uh-oh, Fletcher's going to come in. Uh-oh. Highfalutin is U.S. slang, probably from high flying or high flown.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we talked about it a long time ago.
Yeah, because I said I used to think it was high faultin.
Right.
Yeah.
When I was younger.
Yeah, I do remember that. But it's funny because I...
And I lied one time.
But it is funny on the show, though, because I said it. I instantly, my heart popped up. I said, wait a minute, he's going to ask.
He's going to jump on that.
He's going to ask on this one.
You know what? Just to digress even more from that, I was thinking the other day about newfangled. What is fangled? We don't talk about like old fangled. Where does new fangled come from? What's a fangle?
New fangle.
I have no idea.
comes from new and fangle, which is from the fangle part. We know new.
Yes.
Fangle comes from Proto-Germanic fanglon, to grasp, from the nasalized form of the Proto-Indo-European pog, to fasten. Compare fang. It's interesting.
Huh. I'd so like to related. Say Ross just knew that off the top of his head. I swear.
It was instantly in my little etymological part of my brain. It just popped in there. But that's interesting. Yeah. It's related to fang. I never would have guessed. I mean, fang is in, you know, canine tooth.
Right.
Yeah, that's weird. I never would have thought that.
Newfangled, newfanged. I wonder when it's been used in other ways. Like all we have now is newfangled, right?
I just am fascinated that it goes back to the 15th century. I would have thought that that was more like a 20s or 1800s. I would have thought.
Well, the reason I thought of it just now was because of highfalutin, which, you know, I would have thought it was from around the same time period.
It's also related to the Middle English word for fish spear, if you're interested. Garfang.
I was. Wow.
Huh. Someone said, well, I'm sure it was actually said. Someone once said, what a newfangled garfangled you have here.
All right. So,
why not any? What other fangles are there?
I don't know. I mean, none now.
Are there other
fangles?
There
used to be other fangles. That's what I wonder. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, well, there was fangled, which meant foppish or new made.
And there was
Fangle
Mint.
A new fancy or a novelty.
And there was Fangle Mint, the act of fashioning something made, which was from the 1600s in English.
You know what it sounds like is if fangled was, like you said, new made or foppish, it sounds like newfangled was almost one of those deals where you add the word that basically means the same thing at the front just to emphasize it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because it definitely, because if fangle is a new fancy or novelty, then newfangled is still a new fancy or novelty.
Yeah.
Although let's go backwards a little bit, but originally though, the fangle was inclined to take, and then it transferred into, and then to grasping, and then you're grasping something apparently, which is new.
Because the new, they said, meant fond of there. So,
yes.
You know, the newfangled was you're fond of grasping the new thing.
Grasping of the new thing. Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But Fletcher, this is not going to excuse you from your spelling quiz here. We have a word that wants spelling.
I think we're out of time. Grandiloquence.
Word, again, is grandiloquence.
All right. G-R-A-N-D. I-L-O-Q-U-E-N-C-E.
You got it.
Yeah, grandiloquence.
Very good.
You know, this is a really bad, I'm going to make a confession here. I know how it's spelled, but I don't pronounce it correctly. I instantly think of grandiloquence with a in it.
Oh, grandiloquence?
Which is why people often spell it wrong. That's one of the reasons, because they put the E for eloquence in instead of the I.
Oh, grandiloquence. Well, that kind of makes sense. I never thought about that. Especially, I mean, we're talking about speech.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, the E actually, eloquence, but it's the word itself comes straight from the Latin with the I in it. And it comes from a straight Latin combination of big, grandi, and then locus, which is speaking. So it doesn't originally have the E in it, and it shouldn't
know.
It's a grievous fault for my pronunciation. And speaking of grievous,
grievous, if you have something's grievous, it's very, 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 very serious, right? What's the issue here? G-R-I-E-V-O-U-S?
You got it.
I do sometimes, I guess, hear people say like grievous or something, right?
Yeah.
Is that
grievous
the
is very common. It's That's like, the problem.
It's like mischievous when people say mischievous and then they spell it with the I-O-U-S.
Yes.
This one was on the SAT.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
Okay, this one is actually often misspelled.
Yes.
The word is genealogy.
Oh, I see why. Because it's like it's spelled like genealogy, right? And people are used to ology being O-L-O-G-Y, and it's G-E-N-E-A-L-O-G-Y.
Right. You got it.
Yeah, well, that one makes perfect sense why people would misspell that. So it's the L-O-G-Y that means study of, right? But people are so used to having an O there to connect the first half of the word. Why is it different in this case? Because we're connecting genia?
Yes, exactly. You got it.
Okay.
It's from the to give birth.
Yeah, okay.
Which is the old word. Yeah. Mm-hmm. the making of a pedigree or something.
I just love the fact that in Old English, the word was, how do you pronounce that, Ross? Folktalu?
Yes.
Folktalu? Literally folktale. It wasn't genealogy.
Whoa.
Initially. I mean, we got this. That, yeah.
It's interesting. You're talking about the tale of your family, of your folk. Yeah.
Yeah. When you think about it, it makes a lot of sense.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that?
I wonder what English would have been like had the Normans not invaded. I mean, because it would have been filled. The one problem, I would imagine, like for Germans, a lot of these polysyllabic words are easy to instantly understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like genealogy, if you don't know Latin or Greek, genealogy just looks like a, you know, some sort of generic word.
It's just a thing.
Yeah. Whereas like folktale is like evocative instantly. And if you're 10 years old, you know, I mean, if you're 10 years old, genealogy is a weird word. Folktale or tale of us, you know, people tale, instantly makes sense. And I wonder if... I just wonder what would have been like, you know, to what it is like to live in a culture where these words are instantly available and where, understandable.
A culture where your language makes sense? Is that
yeah. Fletcher, it's basically true. A lot of English, like if you don't know, I mean, I basically think, I see why they used to teach Latin and Greek in you know, school.
So you
long
know
time
what
ago.
You're saying?
Yeah, you know what you're doing. Because
it ends up being, you're right, Royce, it ends up being really, you're just memorizing the thing. I mean,
big words you're memorizing. I know. I know.
They told me that's what it means. It does.
I know.
So be it. Okay.
This word we probably both knew how to spell when we were 10, because as I said, our father was in...
No, I was too. I was littler.
Okay. Galabia.
Galabia?
Or Jalaba. There's another another spelling. You could spell either one.
Not helpful. Galabia. What is this? Okay. Tell me what this is.
It's a smock-like garment, like a robe that they wear in North Africa and in Egypt. You know, the robe that they wear when they're...
Yeah, okay.
Men wear them. Mm-hmm. They're long.
Sure.
Yeah.
They have sleeves.
Yeah, sure. Galabia. Boy.
That's the Egyptian pronunciation.
This is really unfair.
I know it is. That, I'm just going to spell it. Yeah.
You put it in. This is Ross's fault, Fletcher.
It's G-L... This is Egyptian because in the ga is hard in Egyptian Arabic. It's not in other Arabic, but it's G-A-L-A-B-I-Y-A. And then Jalaba is D-J, this is more for North Africa, D-J-E-L-L-A-B-A.
Wow, okay.
And then it can be also spelled Jalabia because the G is sometimes pronounced, the G is pronounced J in most Arabic, G-A-L-A-B-I-Y-A. I agree. Kathy, I think this was wrong to do, but...
You know what?
I think you were very evil.
Clearly I had no idea what it was. I'm glad to learn it because now I know what those are called. And I didn't know that before.
But in Saudi Arabia, the robes are not called that.
They're
Very good, Kat.
What are thobes?
Yeah, that's what they are.
Yeah.
They're a little bit narrower than the Egyptian galabia, but yeah.
Okay.
And I forget when we were in Morocco, it was a jalaba, right? I forget because Randy bought one.
Yeah. It comes from the Arabic term jalab, which is to bring or to wear.
Okay. The next word is gemology.
Gemology. Like the study of gems?
Well, good guess. That's about it.
Gemology. Yeah.
What's weird about this? G-E-M-O-L-O-G-Y.
Ah, Fletcher, we got you. This is not on the SAT list. You are wrong.
What's weird about this one?
Well, you just spelled it wrong.
Well, yeah, I got that. I mean,
okay, so try to spell it again.
I mean, why
try
is again. It not just gemology? I don't.
Okay,
well, it sort of is.
Two M's.
Why?
Well, the Latin. You can blame it on the Romans. Yes. In Latin, precious stone is gemma, G-E-M-M-A.
Wow. I could have sworn I'd seen the word gemology before, and it only had one M.
Let's go to the net and see it. Let's see.
I mean, it could just be that everybody's spelling it wrong.
Okay.
I just typed it into
Fletcher.
The OED, and they said, did you mean gemology with two M's?
Okay, great.
Okay, I just typed into Wikipedia, and they have gemology with one M or gemology with two M's.
Mm.
Okay, who are you going to trust, Ross? Wikipedia OED?
I'm going with that venerable OED.
What about Merriam-Webster? Good old American.
All right.
One M. In Merriam-Webster, their entry is 1M.
Okay.
So maybe that's an American.
Well, Fletcher,
thing.
if you're gonna go like this, we're quitting.
Well, it could be an American versus a British thing.
Fletcher, I think you're onto something. I think you've corrected us.
Because I was thinking jewelry. We go back, jewelry canceled all the British double letters that are not in American
that's
spelling.
That's true. We've talked about that with like jeweler that used to have two L's.
You're right.
Yeah.
Kathy, good. Canceled. I think that is it. So I think, Fletcher, if we're going to be testing you, I think you got this one correct. And I think that we have to, I think we're the wrong ones here.
Well, not wrong.
By over-relying on the OED. Let's see if Fletcher remembers this one. Gooey duck. That's that big Pacific clam.
Right. Gooey duck. Yeah, it's that clam that has a weird big protuberance.
Yes. Protuberance is the quite word.
Yes.
Gooey duck, I think it's geoduck. Geoduck.
Yes. Yes, you got it.
Right. Correct.
Can you remind
us?
Remind us where the word comes from and why we ended up with gooey instead of geo, or why we ended up with geo instead of gooey.
It's a toughie.
Absolutely positive. Yeah, they think it's from a Native American word. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what word it was, though, Ross?
I don't remember the word actually now.
They think it was from Chinook. Oh, from the Nisqually word G-W-E-D-U-C, guiduk, which means dig deep.
Which it does.
Guiduk, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, they burrow very deeply.
Kathy, you lived in that area. Do people eat them?
I have no idea because I would never have eaten one.
I looked at the Google Ngram and guiduk like skyrocketed in usage in the from the 80s to the 2000s, and now it's dropping. I wonder why. I was just wondering, like, maybe they, like, you know, ran out of gooey ducks to eat or something like that. People aren't talking about it. I mean, I don't think of gooey ducks particularly.
I don't remember them, being eaten. They say that they do. Gooey duck, looking here.
Gooey duck farming
Global
is a big
seafood
thing.
Sensation. Yeah. And gooey duck chowder is rich and comforting.
I saw them cook it on Top Chef one time, so I know people do eat it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'd try it.
I would. I like clams. I like clam broth and stuff, too.
I like some clams. I don't. This looks like it'd be too chewy, though, to me. The chewy, gooey duck. I don't know. Perhaps if it's prepared properly. But anyway.
But anyway, let's...
How's that pronounced? Geodesy? Geodesy? Yeah. Geodesy? The word is geodesy.
Geodesy. Geodesy. Okay, tell me what this is. This one, I don't know the definition.
Okay, well, take a guess with the word. Take a guess with the first part of the word.
Geo, something to do with the earth.
Yep, good. It's measurement of the earth.
Measurement of the earth.
It's the art of surveying.
I'm trying to think of another something odyssey word. Boy, I don't know. Is it as simple as like geodicy?
Well,
no, but it is simple.
Okay.
It's G-E-O-D-E-S-Y.
D-E-S-Y. Oh, okay. Okay. I feel like I've seen that word somewhere, maybe just on a spelling bee list.
That's the kind of thing. I think I've seen it, but I've never thought about it.
No, I don't think much of geodesy is a normal thing here. Okay, this one is an interesting one. Gouache.
Say that again?
Gouache.
Gouache. What is gouache?
An opaque watercolor paint. Mom always talked about gouache, didn't she, Kathy?
Mm-hmm. Gouache is very big in art.
Gouache.
There's a lot of gouache out there.
I'm imagining that gouache is something like G-U-A-C-H-E.
Okay. Do a little
You're
more imagining
that, but how would you spell it?
Yes.
Okay, I guess not that way. Gouache. I thought that was a pretty good spelling for something like that.
Actually, you got closer to the Italian part of the Italian.
See?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah, sort of.
No, I don't know.
The first two letters.
It's not exactly perfect there, Kat.
G-U, okay. G-U, but I don't know. What would make that osh sound? I don't know what else. I mean, that's what I would go with. So obviously I'm wrong. Tell me.
G-O-U-A C-H-E.
Oh, well, that wasn't that far off.
No, you weren't.
I just missed the O.
Okay, one thing I'm going to ask you, this is a sort of a toughie on the etymology. We know it's an opaque watercolor paint. What do you think the word is, the word origin, the base word is from that, from gouache? This is interesting because I wouldn't have guessed it, actually.
Mm-hmm. Gourd.
I wouldn't have, no.
Gourd. It's gourd.
No, but that's a good guess.
Oh. That's a good guess. It's actually from aqua, water.
Oh, okay. Gouache. Aqua. Okay. Mm. If you say so.
I mean, you sort of see the osh, gosh, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Aquatio. I like it in Italian. It was guazzo. Guazzo.
Guazzo.
With a double Z is a ts. Guazzo. Mm-hmm. G-U-A-Z-Z-O. Guazzo. Was originally spray, splash, puddle, or pool. Guazzo. I stepped in the guazzo.
Oh, no.
That sounds like a little...
Let's just do this one, because it's a fun word.
Here's a pain word, Fletcher. Kath, read it out. Let's see if you
the
get this one right.
The word is glockenspiel.
Oh, yes. I know what a glockenspiel is. In fact, we have a little one at home that looks like a little weasel or a squirrel or something, and the kids love to play it.
Ooh,
that sounds like fun.
Glockenspiel, which, now, what does that mean? Something... I mean, it means exactly what it is,
well,
right?
It's, yeah, Glock is bell, and Spiel is to play, play bells.
Play these bells.
It's very German. Yeah. I love German for that reason.
I know. But I got to go back to that with, like, you can instantly hear what it, like, I hear Glock and I have no idea what it means, you know, if I don't know what exactly what it means, but... To a German kid, he knows exactly what Glockenspiel means.
Yeah, as opposed to geology.
No problem.
Or...
Yeah, exactly.
G-L-O-C-K-E-N-S-P-I-E-L is Glockenspiel.
Fletcher,
ding,
a
ding,
bell
ding,
will
ding,
ring.
Ding,
yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Perfect.
Ding, 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 ding. You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org. or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Sources and Methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.